From the spy analyst, the U.S.-Saudi nuclear deal, the Abraham Accords trap that could unleash a Middle East arms race, a single military strike was supposed to end a regime. Instead, it exposed the limits of American power, handed Russia and China a strategic opening, and set the Middle East on a path toward a new age of nuclear brinkmanship. There are moments in geopolitics that look small on the surface but quietly rewrite the rules of the game underneath. Most people scroll past them. Few stop to ask what they actually mean. This is one of those moments, and once you understand it, you won't be able to unsee it. To understand where the Middle East is heading and why it matters to every economy watching from the outside, whether or not it borders the region, we have to go back to a single date, February 28th, 2026. That's the day the United States, under President Donald Trump, launched a military strike on Iran, an operation that would later become known as Operation Epic Fury, coordinated with Israel's Operation Roaring Lion. It wasn't a random act of aggression. It was the opening move of a calculated strategy, one built on a theory that had worked before, at least on paper. The doctrine behind the strike was simple, at least in theory. Apply sustained military pressure on Iran. Let that pressure choke the economy from the inside. Once the economy starts collapsing, the regime, deprived of resources and public confidence, begins to crack under its own weight. Then comes the final piece. Combine that economic collapse with the removal or weakening of Iran's top leadership. Do both together, and you get what strategists quietly call a regime change cascade, the same model that played out in Venezuela, where economic strangulation plus leadership decapitation eventually produced internal collapse and a change of power from within. This wasn't a guess dressed up as strategy. This was a model built with real resources and real expertise. American intelligence agencies, the CIA in particular, and the broader U.S. strategic and defense planning community had studied this scenario extensively before a single missile was fired. Analysts wargamed it from multiple angles. Economists projected collapse timelines with real numbers attached. Regional experts mapped out precisely how leadership removal would interact with economic strangulation to produce the desired outcome. This was, by every internal measure available to Washington, a well-resourced, thoroughly studied plan, not an improvised gamble fired off in anger. It failed almost entirely, and the way it failed tells us something far more important than the strike itself ever could. Miscalculation. 1. The economy didn't collapse the way they expected. Even after Iran's leadership took a direct hit, even after the shock of decapitation strikes specifically designed to destabilize command and control, the economic collapse that was supposed to follow simply didn't materialize at the scale planners had projected. The first domino in the chain refused to fall the way the model insisted it would. Miscalculation, 2. And this is the one nobody in Washington saw coming. Iranian society didn't fracture. It fused together. Regime change theory generally assumes a predictable sequence, weaken the leader and the population, resentful, exhausted, looking for someone to blame for their suffering, turns against the system that leader represents. That's the Venezuela model. That's the assumption baked into decades of American foreign policy doctrine, tested and retested across multiple regions. Iran broke that assumption completely, and it broke it in the opposite direction. When leadership came under direct pressure, something closer to a siege mentality took hold instead. Rather than blaming the government for inviting the strike, the population rallied around the one institution capable of defending the country, the military. External pressure didn't create internal blame. It created internal cohesion. And the military, now carrying the full weight of public backing behind it, became the very institution that held the regime together and kept it standing upright. The result? The United States couldn't degrade the Iranian regime in any meaningful, measurable way, let alone destroy it. The strategic objective failed on both fronts it was designed to attack simultaneously. This wasn't an improvised strike that nobody thought through carefully. It was a heavily analyzed strategy executed by people whose entire professional existence is built around getting this right, and reality diverged from the model almost immediately. That divergence, more than the strike itself, is the story that should be making headlines. Iran didn't weather this storm alone. Russia and China quietly stepped in with real, tangible operational support. Not just political statements of solidarity issued for the cameras, but actual material assistance delivered continuously and in real time. This came in two distinct forms: supply chain support, keeping Iran's military-industrial capacity functioning under sustained pressure; real-time satellite intelligence delivered to Iran on a day-to-day, near minute-by-minute basis. That second piece is the one that changed everything. China provided its Beidou technology, giving Iran access to an independent global satellite navigation system with all-weather, high-accuracy positioning and timing. Russia's intelligence pipeline allowed Iran to locate U.S. and Israeli assets with a precision Tehran could not achieve alone. Russia also helped upgrade Iran's Shahed drones with better navigation and communication systems. Using this continuous stream of satellite intelligence, Iran deployed its Shahed drones to systematically target and destroy American military installations scattered across the Middle East. The Shahed 136 drone, described as a low-cost but highly effective weapon, can fly long distances and strike specific targets. Military bases are invisible on any public map, not by accident, but by deliberate operational secrecy. That secrecy protects a base from ordinary citizens. It does nothing to protect it from another government with a satellite and a reason to share what it sees. The United States currently operates more than 800 military bases across the globe. Of those, at least 150 are concentrated in the Middle East alone, a staggering density of military infrastructure that the public will never see marked on any conventional map, but which exists in granular, precise detail inside intelligence databases in Moscow, Beijing, Washington, and beyond. The real question was never whether Iran could locate these targets. It was whether anyone holding that information was willing to hand it over. Russia and China answered that question by doing exactly that, funneling positional intelligence into Iran through what amounts to an active, sustained intelligence pipeline. Armed with these coordinates, Iran's Shahed drones didn't strike randomly or symbolically. They struck with precision, taking out American military infrastructure across the region in a systematic campaign. This is not a footnote. This is one state's military infrastructure being methodically dismantled using intelligence supplied by two of its closest strategic partners, infrastructure the attacking nation didn't even fully realize the target could see. Iran escalated with a second strategic maneuver, choking the Strait of Hormuz, one of the most critical energy choke points on the entire planet. A massive share of the world's oil and gas shipments pass through this single narrow waterway. Whoever controls the flow through it holds direct, immediate leverage over the global energy market itself. Iran has used this choke point repeatedly and deliberately, not as a one-time disruption born of panic, but as a recurring strategic tool, manufacturing global energy crises whenever it serves Tehran's broader interests. Hold that pattern in mind, later in this piece, at almost the exact moment Washington starts attaching knee...